Welcome to Nach Yomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schka, and today we'll continue learning Sefer Yirmiyahu. Abominel notes that the Mesorah divides chapter 7 into four parts, marked by a pay between them. The first, verses 1 through 15, focuses on the impending Churban of Beit HaMikdash and its underlying causes. The second part, verses 16 through 20, interrupts with an admonition directed at Yirmiyahu himself. And part 3, verses 21 to 28, continues with an explanation of the inevitable destruction. The final paragraph, beginning in verse 29, is inexorably linked to chapter 8. As indicated in previous discussions, the popular division of the Tanakh into chapters was initiated by the Archbishop Stephen Langton in the 13th century and often conflicts with the Jewish tradition. In the previous chapter, Yirmiyahu touched upon a theme that runs throughout this Sefer when he quotes Hashem's derision of expensive offerings brought by Am Yisrael to the Beit HaMikdash. There, in verse 20, he declared, "Lama zeli levonam mishvatavo, vekane hatov me'eretz merchak, olotechem lo leratzon, vezivchechem lo arvuli." What do I care about incense from Sheba, or sweet cane from a distant land? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable. Your sacrifices do not please me. Expressions of Hashem's revulsion with meaningless sacrifices and empty rituals are further developed in our chapter, as Yirmiyahu is sent to preach at the gates of the temple to all the Judeans who had come to worship to Hashem. Ko amar Hashem tzvakot Elokei Yisrael, heitivu darcheichem umalaleichem, ve'eshkena etchem makom hazeh. Following Radak and Mitzudot, this verse is generally translated as, "Amend your ways and your actions, and I will settle you in this place." However, Malbim takes note that the phrase "Eshkena etchem" implies, "I will dwell with you and in you," as it was when he commanded them to build the Mishkan, "Ve'asu li mikdash, ve'shachanti betocham." They shall make me a sanctuary, and I will dwell in them. Accordingly, by your actions, the Shechina will abide with you, living in your heart, and not merely in the house that you built for God. As stressed in verse 4, "Al tiftechu lachem el divrei hasheker, lemor, hechal Hashem, hechal Hashem, hechal Hashem hema." He warns against trusting the deceptive notion that the sanctuary of Hashem cannot fall and will ensure the safety of Am Yisrael. Radak explains that the emphatic threefold repetition of hechal Hashem corresponds to the three parts of the Beit HaMikdash, the entrance hall, the sanctuary, and the Holy of Holies. But Targum Yonatan suggests that Yirmiyahu is denigrating false reliance on tefillah, burnt offerings, and prostration, and adds that the threefold repetition alludes to the three pilgrimages that the Jews made to Jerusalem: Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Malbim points out that the verse stresses Heichal Hashem Hema. They are the sanctuary of God, to indicate that Hashem's presence truly lives in the good and moral actions of human beings and not in any wood or stone structure. Yirmiyahu derides an all-too-common false piety that presumes that mitzvot ben adam lamakom can be separated from ben adam lechavero and are sufficient to secure the nation and prevent exile from the promised land. In the following verses 5 through 7, Yirmiyahu insists that the sanctity of Har HaBayit is contingent on social justice, and its holiness dissipates in the presence of immorality and unethical behavior. Ki im heitiv teitivu et darchechem ve'et ma'alalechem, im aso ta'asu mishpat ben ish uvein re'ehu, ger yatom ve'almana lo ta'ashoku, ve'dam naki al tishpechu b'makom hazeh, ואחרי אלוהים אחרים לא תלכו לרע לכם. ושכנתי אתכם במקום הזה, בארץ אשר נתתי לאבותיכם למין עולם ועד עולם. If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will live with you in this place, in the land I gave your ancestors forever and ever. Take note that Hashem warns against idolatry only after listing the interpersonal sins. Perhaps the order implies that korbanot and tefillot without charity and interpersonal tolerance and peace are tantamount to avodah zarah, which attempts to appease and bribe God so he would look away from exploitation of the weak and cheating in the marketplace. Thus, the prophet stresses that only when Jews are honest and meticulous in interpersonal dealings does Hashem secure their country. Yirmiyahu is heartbroken as he sees the hypocritical Jews making their pilgrimage to Yerushalayim, quoting Hashem's lament in verses 8 through 10. But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are worthless. Will you steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and father other alien gods, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name and say, we're safe. Safe to do all these detestable things? And then in disgust, Hashem adds, Hame'arat pritzim haya habayit hazeh. Has this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes? Indeed, even I have seen it. Radak takes note of the closing phrase, Gam anochi hinei ra'iti, and stresses, don't make the mistake thinking that you can pull the wool over God's eyes. He sees not only your actions, but also your intentions. Unless Am Yisrael sanctifies all behavior, in the home, in the marketplace, there is no sanctity in the building that Shlomo HaMelech built. Therefore, Hashem decrees that the fate of the Beit HaMikdash will mirror the fate of the Mishkan in Shiloh, eradicated 300 years prior to Churban Bayit Rishon. And he will cast out all of the Jews in Mamlechet Yehuda, as he had exiled the 10 tribes of Mamlechet Ephraim. Ve'asiti labayit asher nikra shmi alav, asher atem botchim bo, ולמקום אשר נתתי לכם ולאבותיכם כאשר עשיתי לשילו, והשלחתי אתכם מעל פניי, כאשר השלחתי את כל אחיכם, את כל זרע אפרים. Apparently Yirmiyahu was shaken to the core to hear that Hashem had decreed the destruction of the temple. Perhaps he was about to plead for mercy, so Hashem silences him in part 2 of this chapter, beginning with verse 16. As for you, don't pray for this people, nor lift a cry or prayer for them. Don't plead with me, for I do not hear you. Ve'ata al titpalel be'adam hazeh, ve'al tisa be'adam rina utfila, ve'al tifgabi, ki eineni shomea otach. Hashem then points to the abominations practiced by men women and children of all segments of the society. In verse 20, Hashem makes it clear that there is no appeal for his immutable sentence. Hine api v'chamati nitechet el ha-makom hazeh. על האדם, ועל הבהמה, ועל עץ השדה, ועל פרי האדמה, ובערה, ולא תכבה. My anger and my wrath are poured out on this place, on man, on beast, on the trees of the field, and on the crops of your land. And it will burn, and it will not be extinguished. And then, in the third part of this chapter, the prophet resumes with the refutation of any essential value to Korbanot, as he laments the obstinance of Am Yisrael, who repeatedly breached the covenant that bound the nation to God. For when I brought your ancestors out of Egypt and spoke to them, I did not just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifices, but I gave them this command: obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all I command you, that it may go well with you. Hashem then bemoans the persistent pattern of sin in which the children of Israel violated the conditions of their liberation, that they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. They went backward and not forward. From the time your fathers left Egypt until now, day after day, again and again, I sent you my servants, the prophets, but they did not listen to me or pay attention. They were stiff-necked and did greater evil than their ancestors. Finally, in the closing section of this chapter, Yirmiyahu begins to lament the depths of depravity to which his fellow Jews had sunk. Imagining the collective of Israel as a traitorous woman, he cries out, Kozi nizrech vehashlichi, וסיעי על שפעים קינה, כי מאס השם, ויתוש עדו עברתו. Cut off your hair and throw it away. Take up a lament on the barren heights. For Hashem is disgusted and has abandoned the generation that is under his wrath. The nation chosen to be Mamlechet Kohanim, Vegoi Kadosh, a nation of priests, a holy nation, had defiled themselves, removing all vestiges of their exceptionality, and engaged in atrocious rituals, imitating their corrupt pagan neighbors. Beginning with verse 30, the prophet points to the unimaginable. Ki asu bnei Yehuda hara b'einai, ne'um Hashem. Samu shikutzehem babayit asher nikra shmi alav letam'o. Uvanu bamot hatofet asher begei ben hinom. Lisrof et bneihem ve'et bnotehem ba'esh asher lo tziviti ve'lo alta libi. The people of Yehuda have done evil in my eyes, declares Hashem. They have set up their detestable idols in the house that bears my name, and have thus defiled it. Then they built altars in the Tophet, in the valley of Ben Hinnom, to burn their sons and daughters in the fire, something I did not command, nor did it ever enter my mind. The same people who found Hashem's commandments too onerous and restrictive did not hesitate to engage in human sacrifice, building altars to Canaanite gods in a place called Tophet, which according to Radak is derived from the word Toph, a drum, for the hellish drumming that muffled the screams of the children being burned alive. Tophet has since become a synonym for the inferno of Gei Ben Hinnom, a place that has become symbolic of Gehenim, hell. The chapter concludes with a description of the consequences of such horrific and merciless atrocities, a description that spills into the eighth chapter. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.